Okay, so let's unpack this today with a little thought experiment. Imagine winning this stunning vintage luxury car in a lottery.
It's pretty good so far.
Right. It looks absolutely incredible parked in front of your house. But, well, there's a catch in the contract. You are legally forbidden from ever changing the oil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you can't replace the tires when they go flat, and you definitely cannot sell it. You basically just have to sit in the driveway and watch this beautiful machine slowly rust into a useless pile of metal.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a terrible deal for the car owner. But if you substitute that vintage car for a building, you've just described a very real crisis happening in modern urban planning.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission for this session is exploring this really fascinating internal city document. It's titled the HCM 1200 Audit.
Right, the Historic Monument Vacancy and Distress Analysis.
Yes, that's the one. And reading through this material, it honestly feels like holding a digital treasure map. But instead of hunting for buried gold, this system is hunting for abandoned, rotting, or just severely distressed historic cultural monuments.
Often referred to as HCMs.
Right, HCMs, scattered all across Los Angeles.
And, you know, these are not just tiny bronze plaques bolted to a sidewalk somewhere.
No, not at all.
We are looking at massive pieces of civic infrastructure, sprawling commercial sites, and even everyday residential homes. And they all share one thing in common.
Which is that they're completely frozen in time by their historic status.
Exactly.
And what really hooked me here is the methodology. We are going to uncover how advanced AI is being deployed right now, basically as a virtual detective.
Yeah, it's really something.
It's scouring the city to find these neglected landmarks, ranging from massive, contaminated former jails to standard apartment buildings that are just trapped in this bizarre legal paradox.
Yeah. It really represents a fundamental shift in how a city manages its physical history. But, well, before we look at the specific historical buildings that are decaying, we need to understand the mechanism behind the search.
Right, exactly how they're doing it.
Yeah, we need to look at exactly how this audit is hunting them down, because this entire massive citywide operation is happening without anyone ever having to leave a desk.
Which is wild to think about.
Right.
So the core of the document we are looking at is a specific spreadsheet. It's labeled as a HITL sampling list.
Right.
That stands for Human in the Loop. And this particular data set is dated May 12, 2026.
What's fascinating here is the sheer scale of the problem the city is trying to solve. I mean, Los Angeles has thousands of these historic cultural monuments.
Thousands of them, yeah.
And from a purely logistical standpoint, you cannot just dispatch a human inspector to every single one of those addresses every year.
Just to check if the roof is caving in or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or if the windows are boarded up. It would take a decade and drain an enormous municipal budget. So the city handed the initial sweep over to an artificial intelligence model.
Okay, so they used AI to do the heavy lifting.
Yes. Specifically, they utilized a system called Claude Vision, the Sonnet 4.6 iteration, to pre-classify candidates for inspection.
I want to pause on that, actually, because the idea of an AI diagnosing a building's structural integrity from a server room sounds a bit like science fiction.
It does, yeah.
How is it actually seeing these properties? Like, is it tapping into live security cameras or something?
Not quite. It relies on a much more accessible data set. The AI is essentially taking a virtual walk down the street using Google Street View.
Oh, just standard Street View.
Yeah. It takes the exact parcel coordinates of a registered historic building, drops a pin, and pulls four directional captures, so north, east, south, and west.
Okay.
And the algorithm is trained to analyze the pixels in those images, basically looking for very specific visual signatures of urban decay.
But wait, if it just drops a pin at the coordinates, isn't it just looking at whatever the Google car happened to drive past?
Well, yes.
Because I was reading the section on the automated system, the orchestrator, and they ran into a massive, almost comical problem right out of the gate.
The initial error rate was incredibly high, yes.
Because the default heading and pitch for the Google Street View cameras were aimed straight down the road. The AI was pulling these images and analyzing them, completely missing the buildings.
No, absolutely.
It's like trying to take a picture of a breathtaking historic landmark, but you accidentally leave your phone on selfie mode. The AI was just diligently studying high-resolution photos of asphalt and lane dividers.
It is a perfect illustration of the gap between raw data and physical reality. You know, the AI doesn't know what a building is. It only knows the parameters it was given.
Right.
So to bypass the selfie mode issue, the data scientists had to build a technical workaround using what they refer to as a deep link.
Okay, so how does a deep link solve the camera angle problem?
Well, instead of just pulling static pre-captured images, each row in the city's database now generates a fresh Google Street View deep link.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it opens an interactive window directly at those parcel coordinates. This allows the human reviewer, the human in the loop, to manually click in, drag the camera, and aim it directly at the actual facade of the building if the AI returns a confused or null result.
So the AI isn't actually making the final call on whether a building is condemned. It's essentially acting as a bouncer at the door, just checking IDs and flagging the obvious problems.
That is a highly accurate way to frame it. The AI is a fast pass filter.
Got it.
The vision results run through the database and sort the lists so that rows exhibiting conditions of abandoned or distressed get pushed to the very top of the spreadsheet. But it is merely a preliminary screen.
Right, a first pass.
Exactly. And this brings up a crucial limitation of using computer vision for urban environments. The AI can only analyze the exterior shell.
Meaning, a building could look perfectly pristine from the sidewalk, but the inside could be an absolute disaster zone.
Precisely. A property might be structurally compromised internally. I mean, the copper plumbing could be entirely stripped out by scavenger.
Oh, wow.
The internal load-bearing walls might be rotting. The floors could be caved in. But if the front brickwork happens to be well-maintained and someone is mowing the front lawn, the AI will confidently classify it as healthy.
It just entirely fools the system.
Completely. The AI lacks any concept of object permanence. Its entire reality is limited to the pixels it can see from the curb.
And if you've ever used Google Maps to look at your own house or apartment, you probably know the other glaring blind spot the audit brings up. It's not a live feed.
No, it is notoriously delayed.
Yeah, the captures for any given residential block might be 1, 2, or even 3 years old. A lot can happen to an abandoned building in 3 years.
Definitely.
A minor roof leak in 2023 becomes a fully collapsed structure by 2026.
And then you have to factor in the geographic quirks of a city like Los Angeles. The audit makes a specific point to call out what they term hidden interior parcels. Oh, right, which are those driveway setback homes.
Yes.
The document notes this is extremely common in hilly neighborhoods like Highland Park and Silver Lake. You have these historic single-family residences that are tucked way behind other apartment buildings.
Or they are hidden up these incredibly long, winding driveways at the very back of a steep lot.
Right.
And for those specific topography challenges, Street View is functionally useless. Mm. The historic structure is completely occluded from the road by fences, foliage, or other buildings.
So the AI can't see a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The audit specifies that in these scenarios, the human reviewer has to manually pivot away from Street View and rely on top-down satellite imagery just to verify if the building still has an intact roof.
Wow.
Yeah. The metadata, so the age of the building, the history of complaints, is what flags the property in the system, but a visual confirmation is always the necessary final hurdle. Knowing the AI's blind spots brings up a really interesting question. If the computer can only see the outside, and it might be looking at footage from 2 years ago, what kind of building gives off such massive, undeniable visual red flags that a computer can spot it from the street?
That is the big question.
Yeah, and that brings us to what the audit categorizes as type 1 candidates. I've basically been thinking of them as the contaminated giants.
Well, the audit splits the distressed properties into two distinct buckets, and type 1 is certainly the most physically imposing.
Right.
These are explicitly defined as civic, commercial, industrial, or infrastructure properties, but the defining metric that separates them is contamination.
Right.
To be a type 1, the property must have a high probability, specifically calculated at 0.6 or higher, of tract-level contamination and functional obsolescence.
Just to clarify the math here, a 0.6 probability means the system is 60% sure the ground or the structure itself is literally toxic.
Correct. It calculates that probability based on historical zoning data and visual evidence of industrial decay.
So they're essentially hunting for massive, toxic, abandoned properties that just so happen to be legally protected historic monuments.
Exactly.
And the visual cues the Claude Vision AI is trained to look for are incredibly grim. We're talking empty, cracked parking lots, abandoned silos, crumbling masonry chimneys.
Yes.
And even chain link perimeters that have been completely swallowed by overgrowth.
The algorithm is also scanning for peeling exterior siding on large-scale industrial warehouses, severely faded or rusted signage, and even the physical remnants of old rail spurs or capped oil wells in the immediate vicinity.
Just really bleak stuff.
Very. And out of all the properties scanned, the system identified 74 of these Type 1 historic monuments, and it ranked them by their contamination probability.
On top of this list is honestly staggering.
Right.
The number one spot goes to HCM 587. It's the Lincoln Heights Jail.
Right.
It was officially designated as a historic monument back in 1993. It is this massive concrete civic building sitting on 1.7 acres of land.
It's huge.
Yeah, and it carries a type 1 contamination probability of 0.73. And the Claude Vision AI gave it a distress score of 5, meaning it is completely abandoned.
And right below that, you find the cast iron commercial building located on San Pedro Street. That one was designated back in 1975.
Okay.
The AI flagged it with an even higher distress score of 6, and its contamination probability sits at 0.87.
And it's not just traditional buildings either. There is literal infrastructure on this list.
Yes, there is.
The Olympic Boulevard Bridge is a protected historic monument, yet the system flagged it with a massive 0.98 probability for contamination and obsolescence. So looking at these examples, I have to ask the obvious question.
Go for it.
Why do we care? Are we just slapping a historic label on toxic waste sites and abandoned jails to protect them from being bulldozed and cleaned up?
Well, to understand why this is a crisis, we have to look at another key metric the audit utilizes, which is called the F-axis.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the data tables. The Lincoln Heights Jail has an F-axis of 7. But what is that axis actually measuring? Is it just a generic scale of 1 to 10?
It's much more specific than that. The F-axis represents an alternative use score.
Okay.
It calculates what the underlying land would be worth to the city and to the community if the historic building currently sitting on it simply didn't exist.
Oh, wow.
It factors in current zoning laws, allowable density, and proximity to major transit corridors.
So an F-axis of 7 means the land is incredibly valuable for something else.
Exactly. If the 1.7 acres under the Lincoln Heights Jail were just empty dirt, it would be a prime location for high-density affordable housing.
Right.
Or a modern transit hub or a massive community center. These are not just empty, harmless buildings. They are massive, highly desirable plots of land that sit completely frozen.
Just entirely stuck.
Yeah. Their legal historic status strictly prevents demolition or the kind of major redevelopment required to make them useful. So they just sit there, gathering severe environmental red flags, literally rotting from the inside out.
It's the vintage car analogy again. We gave the Lincoln Heights Jail a royal title in 1993, and now it's just a massive, toxic, concrete paperweight taking up almost 2 acres of Los Angeles.
It is urban obsolescence formalized and protected by law. The city is mandated to preserve a structure that no one can safely occupy on land the city desperately needs to function.
That is a really heavy realization. But, well, it's one thing to look at an abandoned concrete jail from a distance.
Yeah.
The audit gets incredibly personal when we move to the second bucket, the Type 2 candidates.
It definitely does.
Because this bucket involves the neighborhoods where everyday people actually live, or should say where they used to live.
Right. Type 2 candidates operate on a fundamentally different set of parameters than Type 1. These are single-family or multifamily residences, specifically those designated as historic prior to 1995.
And unlike the massive industrial sites, the AI isn't looking for toxic waste or old rail lines here. It's looking for independent distress signals, things like open code complaints filed by frustrated neighbors or city inspectors.
And the visual cues the AI is hunting for shift dramatically in this category.
Like what?
It is trained to spot blue tarped roofs, sagging front porches, and visible foundation cracking. It looks for invasive vegetation overgrowing the foundation wall.
Oh, I see.
Or even the subtle fact that no vehicle has appeared in the driveway across multiple years of street view captures.
Fire scorching is also on the list of visual triggers. Plywood patches roughly nailed over windows. Handwritten danger keep-out notices.
Yes.
And the one that really stood out to me is a profoundly human detail. Mail slots that have been taped over from the outside. That is just such a specific, grim indicator of a building that has completely given up.
It is a visceral, undeniable indicator of abandonment. Now, refining the AI to successfully isolate these Type 2 homes without generating thousands of false positives required some really delicate calibration.
I can imagine.
Yeah, the data scientists had to apply a very strict parcel size cap. They configured the filter to only analyze properties between 0.05 and 1.5 acres.
Hold on. If the goal is to find all the decaying historic homes in the city, why put a ceiling on the lot size? Wouldn't you want to scan every single residential property on the register?
Well, because earlier, unfiltered iterations of this algorithm accidentally condemned massive, perfectly manicured historical estates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the document notes that before the size cap was implemented, the AI flagged the Harold Lloyd Estate and the Village Green HPOZ.
Wait, what is an HPOZ?
It stands for Historic Preservation Overlay Zone. It's essentially an entire district or neighborhood protected under one massive historic umbrella.
Oh, I see the problem. Because those districts are technically categorized as residential, if one single homeowner in a giant multi-acre historic district gets a code complaint from the city for having a cracked sidewalk, the AI assumes the entire multi-acre estate is a distressed slum.
Exactly. It lacked the nuance to separate the individual from the district.
That makes total sense.
So the parcel size cap, combined with the strict requirement for an active open code complaint, effectively filters out those accidental district scale catches. What remains is a highly concentrated list of freestanding residential parcels exhibiting severe independent distress signals.
And the audit actually walks through a specific case study that the team used to validate this entire Type 2 workflow. They call it the Burnside Cluster.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the Burnside Cluster is arguably the most vital finding in this entire audit. It perfectly encapsulates the crisis.
Right.
It consists of three separate neighboring historic monuments, HCM 423, 424, and 425. These are classic apartment buildings located at 607, 626, and 636 Burnside Avenue.
And they were granted historic monument status way back in 1989. And the data the filter pulled on them is just incredibly grim.
It is.
Every single one of these buildings has at least two open code complaint cases. There are zero recent permits filed with the city for any kind of repair work.
And when the reviewers clicked that deep link to manually verify the block on Google Maps, they found the final damning piece of the puzzle. The neighboring apartment building at 616 Burnside Avenue.
Which sits right in the middle of this historic cluster.
Yes. It is officially listed as permanently closed.
Which provides incredibly strong visual confirmation that the entire historic block of apartments is non-operational. It's a ghost block right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, the audit calls this the textbook Type 2 trapped pattern.
But I'm still trying to wrap my head around the mechanism here. Why wouldn't the owner just hire a contractor to fix the roof and clear the code complaints?
Because of the strict historic designation covenants tied to the deed, to repair a historic cultural monument, you cannot just buy standard shingles from a hardware store.
Oh, of course.
The covenants often dictate that you must use historically accurate materials. Say, a specific type of fired clay tile that hasn't been manufactured in 50 years. You have to hire specialized preservation contractors. The cost to repair the building to historical standards vastly exceeds the value of the property or the potential rental income.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The law that was meant to save the building is the exact weapon destroying it.
Exactly.
You have these apartments on Burnside Avenue that could be housing dozens of families in a city that desperately needs housing. But the owner can't afford the historically mandated repairs.
Right.
They can't demolish the building to build new apartments because it is legally protected, and they can't sell it because no buyer wants to take on the liability.
It's a total dead end.
So the properties just sit there with taped over mail slots and tarped roofs, slowly collapsing under the weight of their own historic protection.
It is the ultimate paradox of preservation. The entire Burnside cluster has now been pushed to the high-priority Tier 3 site visit queue for immediate physical inspection by the city. But even when the human inspectors arrive with their clipboards, the legal trap remains firmly in place. The city is effectively using cutting-edge AI to meticulously document the decay of a building it refuses to let die, but is legally unable to revive.
Which brings this entire conversation directly back to you, the listener. Why does an internal audit of Los Angeles properties matter to you?
That's a fair question.
Well, because the cities you live in, the streets you walk down every day, are quietly battling this exact tension. There is a very real, very passionate desire to preserve history. We want to maintain a connection to our past to protect the architecture that defined our culture.
But that desire to preserve physical objects is constantly colliding with the immediate, urgent need for functional, safe housing and usable commercial spaces in the present. I mean, You cannot live inside a bronze plaque.
We've tracked a wild journey today. We started with flawed Google Street View angles and an AI trying to guess if a building is abandoned just by looking at its front door. We've explored the massive, contaminated Type 1 giants like the Lincoln Heights Jail, sitting like toxic paperweights on acres of valuable land. And we've looked closely at the deeply personal Type 2 residential buildings, like the Burnside Cluster.
Trapped in a financial and legal paradox where they can't be lived in, but they can't be torn down either.
Exactly. It forces us to take a hard look at what preservation actually means when the physical object being preserved has become a hazard to the community around it.
It really does.
Which leads to a final lingering question I want to leave you with. Something to mull over the next time you walk past a boarded-up building with a historic designation marker on it.
Oh, this is a good one.
If an artificial intelligence can now perfectly document, down to the millimeter peeling paint and the depth of the cracked foundations, the inevitable rotting decay of a building that we are legally forced to preserve, but practically forced to abandon.
Right.
At what point does a detailed, highly accurate, 3D digital historical archive become more valuable to a living city than an unlivable physical structure taking up space in the real world?
If cities want to continue growing, that is a conversation urban planners will inevitably have to face.
Well said. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.